Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. You've reached Focus on Health Radio. I am your host, Pamela Crane. Today we are celebrating the life and career of writer, producer, drummer, master musician, Jack D'Angelo. Welcome, Jack. Thank you for agreeing to share your life and your history with us.
Well, thank you, Pamela, and thank you for having me share with you. It's a team game. We're all together, and we're all sharing together. So thank you very, very deeply and truly.
Well, I love, and I want to say that the beginning song was Jacqueline Michelle, and it's from your CD, Sacred Angel, and it is my favorite.
Well, it's a beautiful song about a heroic nurse and caregiver and beautiful friend to us all, and very inspirational to take care of children with special needs, and it's just a song where you can, you know, take the goodness of that and take it into your own heart and into your own life, and just let it flow. Let it flow. Let the goodness flow. And that's what the groove says, and that's the rhythm of the soul. So
that's awesome.
That's a special song.
That's awesome. Well, let me ask you this. I want to walk through the history of your life with you, since you've been so gracious to agree to share that with us. And I'm going to start with my first question with you. What was your first memory of your love for music? Can you remember that?
It's the Beatles when you were in sixth grade or fifth grade. You know, Mickey Mantle was in the 60s, and then the Beatles, so it was a hard kind of balance to make, because I adored Mickey Mantle, and then when the Beatles came, they shook up the world. So it was that first hearing, "I Want to Hold Your Hand," there was something about it, and still when I hear that song, there's a love and spirit in that song that still evokes a pang in my heart, and much the same as seeing Mickey Mantle walk, you know, trot out to center field with the seven on his back. You know, you wondered if he existed until you were taken to Yankee Stadium and you found out that, yeah, Mickey Mantle is real. And so he was the one that made me dream I can be somebody. And all that happens around Buddy Rich and watching him on television, because you want to become like your heroes, Mickey Mantle or Willie Mays, and you want to be in a band like the Beatles. But then all of a sudden the Hollywood Palace comes on, and there's this face smiling like he's enjoying every second of life, and you're hearing this sort of swirl of energy, and cymbals were glistening and his hands were moving like the wind. And then I looked in my ball uniform with my glove and my ball in my hand, and I'm going, wow, drums. I got to wait and hear this guy's name maybe drums can be my expression. And I waited to hear at the end the credits and said, Buddy Rich Orchestra, and that was it, and went to pitch a ball game at Parkway Field. And then across the way, there was the lights on Memorial Field, and I said to Pete Paradise, I said, Pete, big game tonight at Memorial Field. He goes, no, Jack, big concert, Buddy Rich and the Checkmates. And that was the start of my journey, that God, had the purpose for me to live. That was it. And when I saw him and saw the drums, I knew exactly what I wanted to be. And that vision came to me right in my hometown of Pelham, Mount Vernon, and there I just had to walk across the ball field in my Little League baseball uniform and see the concert with the Checkmates, who were outstanding, great, and then waited to see, like Mickey Mantle, that Buddy Rich was real. And sure enough, he was, and he sat on the drums and did a dance on the hi-hat cymbals and mesmerized the whole 20,000 people that were there. And I was in the back, and I said, I want to play drums. And went to the side of the stage after the show, and police officer said, no, that's as far as you go, kid. And I was yelling, Mr. Rich, Mr. Rich. And all of a sudden I hear this voice, hey, let the kid through, will you? And ran to him. And I told him, I'm going to get in trouble. I'm supposed to be at dinner right now, but saw you on the television show, and now seeing you, I want to be just like you. And he just gave me his sticks and put his arm around me like a soft cloud, and I jumped off the 8-foot stage, and I didn't have my elastic on my uniform, so I put the sticks in my uniform pants, and they slid right through my left leg. And Buddy's on top, just laughing, and he goes, Jack, if your parents let you out, you come straight to this bus, and we'll hang together, and we're still hanging. I know he's in glory, but he's with me every day of my life, and as a result of that day, we never left each other's love or spirit, and till he went to glory. So I owe him so much, and I'll never be able to, really pay him back, for what he's given me. And and same with Mr. Mantle. Those people gave you a dream in your mind and heart to be able to at least think about trying to do that. And they were the examples. And and Joe Namath, my best friend, he's the standard for everything good. He's always told me the truth. I've always told him the truth. And to this day, he's the best friend I've ever had, over 45 years. And it's an unspoken relationship, and there's no need to talk, have that an understanding with somebody. And he continues to teach me to be a much better me. So I love Joe, and I always say, to my friends, there's nobody like Joe, and he's just very special, a heart as big as the sky. So and all these people that you meet every day influence you. They make you a better person, and you seek out their rhythm, their soul, and you go for the goodness in life, and you try to do the deeds from the people that influence you every day, or in my life, all the great musicians that I've come to play with, and the Chuck Berry, Bo Diddley, Blood, Sweat, and Tears, The Rascals, Felix Cavalieri, Laura Nero, souls that wrote music that will always heal the human spirit, and continue to heal those songs. You know, it's a beautiful morning. People got to be free. And, you know, and of course, Stevie Wonder and Marvin Gaye, what's going on, the rhythm of what's going on is it's church to me now. It's like going to church, listening to Marvin Gaye and what's going on. It's church. So all that continues to influence me, and I never lose the child in me. Because it's like hearing it for the first time, all these songs or seeing footage on you know, Joe Namath or Muhammad Ali or, you know, Mickey Mantle. It's like you begin again. And I think that's really what makes me humbled to play music or drums, that there's always some other rhythm of life that you can try to get to. You know, it's never going to be that perfect groove or that perfect song, but it's as close as it gets, and it keeps you always, you know, striving to get better. And so I'm never satisfied with my playing because I always want to get better. And that's what
awesome.
I was taught.
That's awesome, and that's one of the next questions is I wanted to ask you, what was your first professional influence, and why did it influence you, and who did you play music with when you first started?
Well, the local heroes were great. I mean, in my high school, I was in seventh grade, so I looked up to, people like Pat Murphy and Neil DeLuca, Jeff Coates. These were all local people. Richie Iannuzzi on drums. There were great Jimmy LaRusso. All these great musicians, a lot older than me, but I got to play with them and admire them in local band situations before I, my destiny was to be with Felix Cavalieri and to play on the Island of Real at 15 and a half and still being in high school. But all those people, and John DeJohnny, which is an interesting name, it could be a television show, the John DeJohnny Show, but I mean, he would introduce me to, hey, you got to hear this guy called Richie Havens, you got to hear this guy called Harry Chapin, you got to hear Joni Mitchell, and he would really, and play Buddy Rich, West Side Story, and he was really responsible for turning me on to all the mediums of music. And then we'd go down to the Fillmore East, and we'd see Chicago Transit Authority, Johnny Winter, and he'd be introducing Edgar Winter, who I later played with, and King, and all on the same bill at the Fillmore East. And you walked out of the Fillmore like you couldn't believe what you saw, but the music was that strong, and the rhythm was intoxicating to your heart. It just went to you, and it changed your life. I mean, in the 60s, every record changed my life every week, and I'm sure it did for millions of people. The Rolling Stones, Jimi Hendrix, Procol Harum, Traffic, all these great, great artists, Rascals, Turtles, Sonny and Cher. I mean, I got you, babe. I cry now when I hear the lyrics. I never used to really zone in. And one time I listened to what he wrote, and I sat in my driveway in Port Chester, New York, and just cried. It was that beautiful. It finally got to me. So music, is God. I mean, God created, good music for us to, get along and get to the next day and feel good. And, you put a little good music in you. And if it's really good music, it'll last a couple of days, a week. And that's when you know it's really good music, when you still can remember it. And that's the way it was in the 60s. Bob Dylan, I think the music business owes Bob Dylan so much. I don't think there's not one of us that doesn't have Bob Dylan in some way in us. And of course, Dylan, so humble, he knows it's from the Creator, and that's it. Those are the influences. And when you first play with these local kids in, you know, the seventh grade dance, the eighth grade dance, you're playing all that music. You're playing all that music that you're going to eventually play with the real artists, you know, that you're playing with. So that was a big, you know, realization that I'm playing, you know, Good Lovin' with Felix Cavalieri, but I would play it at the pack dance, you know, or you'd play, you know, Groovin', and then you're actually with the guy who wrote it, and he's taking you under his wing. So it's like you don't think it's magic, but it's destiny. But where does that come from? That comes from your story was written in heaven, like all of our stories are. And even when we're down or feeling bad, God comes to us to lift us and bring us to a brighter level or situation where, you know, you can get through and do good. And it doesn't last too long when you're down, but when you're realizing that God's working through you, the ride is incredible. And the power of giving and sharing, to me, is what it's all about. So, and then,
well, you're so humble with you always say that, you always share that with me, that you realize that it's God. Because I was going to ask you, what was your first experience of actually being able to play professionally?
Well, it was with the Rascals. I was 15 and a half, and Felix Cavalieri, lead singer, calls me up at my house in Roosevelt Avenue in Pelham and says, you know, I want you to come down to Electric Lady Studios, and I want to put you on a record, and you'll play congas and percussion. And, you know, as you're listening to his voice, you're listening to everything you ever heard in your life. You know, every song he sung, you know, I mean, everything he played on the organ. And you're really not getting, am I supposed to go down to Jimi Hendrix's studio? Really? Oh, I can forget about algebra right now and social studies. So, I mean, I took the train in disbelief, and there was Jimi Hendrix's studio that I just read about, and it was 72, so he had passed, and his spirit was very much alive, as I felt it, and still do, and went in, and there was Dino Danelli, who's an inspiration to me still, and he was there, and there was Felix, and then there was Buzzy Featon, who played on Stevie Wonder's Music of My Mind, and there was Robert Popwell, who played with the Jazz Crusaders, and I'm kind of, you know, sitting there going, is this real? Am I really here? And then Felix says, okay, get the congas, has some people set up the congas, and this sax player comes in, and I recognize the sax player from Edgar Winter's White Trash, and I saw them at the Fillmore, and that's John Smith. I'm going, there's John Smith. What's he going to do? Well, Felix goes, he's going to be playing with us. Oh, I'm in the band. Wow. So I sat with my congas, you know, next to his Hammond B3 organ, and Dino was facing me, and Buzzy Featon and Robert Popwell were to the right, and I'm in disbelief, but when it came time to play, I hit those congas and played the groove and was overjoyed just to be a part of getting a chance to play with my hero band, the Rascals, and you know, it was the Beatles, Rascals for me, but the Rascals, that was it for me in Pelham. Felix came from the same town, and he put Pelham on the map. So that was my first record, playing on the island of Rio percussion and congas. And when you're still in high school, and then you tell people, yeah, I'm playing with the Rascals. Ah, yeah, sure, Jack. Well, you know, keep dreaming. No, but But, you know, it's one of those. I think we all went through all that. So, yeah, okay. But then when the album came out and you saw your name connected with all these greats, you know, David Sanborn, James Green, Sissy Houston, all these names, and there's at the end there's Jack Scarangella. You just can't believe it. So, you know, you go to the record store and you buy, like, you know, 10 copies of the album, you know, just to have it. You can't believe that you actually are on a record and with the Rascals, and probably one of the greatest albums of funk and jazz in the 70s. So I'm proud of being a part of one of the great albums. So that was the first album, The Island of Real, with my name on it. I actually saw my name on it. So it's it all feels like a dream even now. I realize, how did I get this far? So you're always hoping to get through the next day. That's how I feel, because life is a gift. And so your excitement and enthusiasm, I always try to have, because it's a gift to do good and to try to better yourself and to play music. It's a privilege, and to play good music is a real privilege. And you know, I was talking with David Foster, who has his album out, D.A. Foster, which is an incredible blues album, produced by Mike Finnegan, who played on Still Rain and Still Dreaming with Jimi Hendrix, and we just disagree. He co-wrote with Dave Mason, and we played in the Shabu All-Stars, Mohegan Sun All-Stars together. You're discussing the fact that, you know, we actually played with Muddy Waters. There's a picture of David, Muddy Waters, and me with his arms around us, like, you know, father and sons. And that's, you know, you're humbled by all of that. But, you know, I never took it. Buddy Rich said, don't take yourself seriously. You know, just let everybody see that you're doing your job. Just do your job, play your drums. And that's all I've ever done. And, you know, no ego, just very happy to play and seek that kind of level. You know, always to better myself, and I find that if you dream of it, you know, you can get it in some way. You know, you can really achieve something if you dream about it. You can make it happen. So Joe Namath taught me that big time, and I watched Buddy Rich do that every night, and so many other people that work. You know, carpenters and doctors and nurses and so many people, people just doing everyday jobs that make America go, make the world go, make everybody believe that this is a gift. And I'm a big fan of anybody who does anything good. Big fan. You know, and I don't. I really don't know what else to do. I can't find an airport. You know, drums. You put me behind the drums, I can play. But you know, finding Newark Airport or whatever, that's going to be hard. But
I hear you on that. I told the driver the other day, I can't even do a schedule, but I can do a radio show. I can do that for you.
Well, no, but see, that's it.
Let's talk about 10 years into your career. Think about that time. How do you feel that you evolved up to that point, 10 years, and what was the music, and what were you influenced by as you moved about 10 years into your career?
Well, I mean, I was fortunate to see Mr. Sinatra and be with Buddy Rich through all the concerts that they would do in New York or Connecticut, and just to watch the absolute magic of Mr. Sinatra and Buddy together, and you learn professionalism. You learned how he phrased the song. He sung the saddest songs and the happiest songs with the same intensity. The same with Buddy, how he played a ballad or he played an up-tempo swing burn and chart, you know. But you learned how to do your craft watching them. And then, you know, you'd play with Bo Diddley at the Lone Star, and you'd learn, you know, from the architect of rock and roll how to play a Bo Diddley beat, which is a very is swing beat in between a very 2/4, you know, bass drum snare, but the hi hats are swinging from the jazz era, so it's learning from people that went before you, the Records, Pharoah Saunders, Umala Umala with Leon Thomas, Miles, being around Miles Davis at a young age to this day influences me. What he said to me and how he played and how the genius of Miles was always seeking something better to top his own genius. So being around those Art Blakey, Max Roach, Elvin Jones, these are all the originals that were the blueprints for jazz and modern music. And you're there. You're right. You're right there with them, and they love you, and you love them. And I think that's the real deal, is love. So if you if they can feel that coming from, you know, little Jack, then, you know, they let you in, and they teach you a subliminal kind of way of just watch me. That's what Buddy did. Just watch. You'll get it. And they let you in, and they give of themselves because they know that you're going to listen. Listening is a key part. And I listen, and people would say, you know, how come you don't talk on the bus with Buddy? You know, you've seen you for years. You don't say a word. Who am I to talk? You know, that's the greatest genius on drums, natural genius of the 20th century, in my opinion. You know, he was like DiMaggio or Ted Williams, you know, Mickey Mantle. So that's, you don't, you know, you're quiet because you want to soak it all in. And because you know somewhere in your soul that this is not going to happen again. And if you feel that kind of feeling, which I do, every moment is not going to come again. So that's the present, or the precious present that God gives you, is the moment to moment. That's everything. And it's what you do with it, but he's giving you that. And that is a huge gift. And that's how I live. You know, it's I play drums, but it's a life drum. I play a life drum. And those people that taught me, and then you later play with Chuck Berry playing Johnny B. Goode, and he gives you a drum solo, then he's hearing you play, you know, Chuck Berry music, and you're giving it everything you have and contributing for all you're worth, and he sees it, and you're inspiring him, and he gives it up to you, and that's when you know you're playing something special with one of the great, you know, rock and roll legends. So it's all about being humble and yet being confident enough to know, like a friend of mine said, when you played with Chuck Berry, did you contribute, and I'm not talking about your name and his name, did you contribute on the same level as Chuck Berry? And I went, yes. And he went, right on, brother.
Oh,
yeah.
Right.
Because, you know, it's not, you know, no one's Chuck Berry, but I'm going to contribute on that same level because that's what you got to do. You know, you got to play the game.
You're guessing my next questions. Is I was going to ask you, for the next 20 years into your journey, what was the music, and did you now start to influence other people?
Well, I mean, I'm proud of my two CDs, you know, that really, The Hero in Us All and Sacred Angel, that's sort of my path. That's where I want to be. I want to be able to bring this music to the world and the stories and play live and get a band together and go and play for the human spirit, play for the people. And these two records, I'm so proud of, because you know, it's not me, you know. I mean, God gave me the gifts to do what I do, like he gives you the gifts to do what you do, and millions and millions and millions of people. You know, he's really playing the drums. I mean, he's giving you the gift, but when you're humble, I believe he comes in and he plays, you know, he's batter up for everybody. So, you know, he makes you hit safely. And even if you're in trouble, or you're trying to fight illnesses, and he's in that room. And I've felt him with my mother, and I've seen an unseen God, you know, comes in. And it's an amazing thing. I'm sure you know what I'm saying. You don't know how to explain it in the human language, how God comes in, and but he's there, and you feel him, and that's where your faith kicks in, and you know it, but it's not necessary to really define what's undefinable in the plane. You just have to believe, and that's what it comes down to. So when he does do a miracle, and that I know from my mother, getting her out of intensive care and getting her back into her room in the nursing home, that's a miracle to me. So that's something that is the biggest gift in the world, when you have still time to talk to somebody, that, you know, your mom, your best friend, your family, whatever. That's an incredible feeling as you get older. And that's what basically my music's about. Sacred Angel is about struggle, hard times, you know, but the light always wins. The light comes to you when the struggle is over. You get to the light, you get the win. But not, you know, if you want something bad enough, you got to work for it, and you got to believe. And I've always had no idea of how it went my whole life. I mean, it's just like a dream to me. But I do know that I was sincere and I was truthful with everything that I've said. I may not have known what some of the things that you should know, but I'm a drummer, musician. You know, I know how to play drums. But that's what you learn from other people. They teach you, they bring you along, they take care of you, they give you strength to find your path and stay on it. So there's so many people that do so many great things in life, that is what it's all about. I mean, there are people I know, Renee Kuprak, Shanoa Whitman, David Foster, Charles Calmes, you can do a roll call. Everybody can do a roll call of people that they love, that give you or you strength to go on. Your Uncle Frank, your Uncle John, Mr. Gabberti was my hero. I loved him. He gave you a confidence and a security. He's a very, very unique man, beautiful. And when he played the accordion, the smile would glow. And you never forgot that he's loving every second of playing. And you take that with you when you play on the road, when you're doing your job. So it's, we influence each other and inspire each other. And you keep going.
Which comes to my next question, is I wanted to ask you so much, it's just a personal question, is what do you feel like before you drum, and then when you're drumming, what are you feeling, and then after you finish?
Well, I mean, I'm nervous, very nervous before I play, extremely nervous, and then all of a sudden, you know, you start thinking about, you know, what you're going to, you know, how long is it going to take you to get to the drums? And then when you get on the drums, then for me, it's as soon as I hit the ride cymbal, or, you know, do a do a quick roll on the snare or hit the bass drum, I'm in. I'm ready. I'm on my spaceship, and depending on what medium we're playing, when you just give for that 90 minutes everything you got, when it's over, you know, you hit the crash cymbals. Buddy said to me, when you hit that crash cymbal, hit it, and he just hit that cymbal, and I jumped like a foot, but I always remembered, you know, be definite and be strong in the way your approach is, and you know, groove the band, you know, and then when it's your time to do a solo, you contribute, you know, that way, but your job is to make the band swing. And then once you finish and you know you did a good job, man, it's great. I know you're gonna probably say, well, but that steak, you know, little potatoes and peas, well, it tastes good. It tastes good after the show. Yeah, that, you know, that steak does taste good.
You gotta have that steak, okay?
But we could also eat some vegetables, you know. But it's hard for me, as I told you, you know, how many hot dogs I ate at Yankee Stadium and stadiums, I don't know. But those hot dogs sure are good.
Yes, they are. And you need protein. I'm not objecting to that. You do need the protein. Well, we just did the show, Nancy and I, Nancy Gaverdi and I, we do shows on
love
holistic
Nancy.
Health.
She's the best.
Yeah, she is. She's my bud.
She's and the best.
We did a show on the health benefits of drumming because we were curious about it, and we realized that drumming works the right left portion of the brain and causes balance and circulation and immune stimulation. So we were wondering, both of us, we had the same question. How did you feel while you were drumming? And I'd have to listen to the show again. I believe it produces endorphins and another chemical within the brain as you do drums. So we were curious about how that made you feel, because you drum so – I said under one of your videos that it's like watching a human tornado with soul. You put everything into it that
very,
you are.
Very sweet.
And you it must be – both exhilarating and absolutely exhausting. So you can have your steak after. I mean, that's fine. It looks
or some good rigatoni and broccoli rabe. You know, if Richie's listening, you know, a little rigatoni broccoli rabe. That's pretty good too, with a nice gravy. You know, I mean, when you play, when I play, you get into a zone where it's your soul traveling. Your spirit is so it's a very unexplainable feeling, but you become very, you know, powerful inside and out. You know, your outside spirit, your inside heartbeat, your everything is connecting. You know, your arms, your legs, your feet, everything, your mind, your eyes are focusing out into the audience. You're playing to that gal or that guy in the back. I can't afford the front row seat. That's working two or three jobs a night, supporting three or four kids. Your whole mind is flying to give them the best that you can give on the drums, where everything's working, and you keep getting higher and higher as each song, you know, goes down. And that's basically what sensation is that you're really in another level of your soul is reaching other plateaus, and you're just, sometimes I just watch my hands, you know, with a blue light or whatever that's on the snare drum, and you just watch your hands go, and you just let them do their job, and you're not even thinking, and they're just going. And as I
that's
say,
you maybe, yeah. You maybe,
huh?
You watch you drum, and it's like, how does he do that?
Well,
because
you know,
you're blessed. You're gifted.
It's a gift, though, from God. You know, everybody has gifts. You know, every second God gives you a gift for some situation or some person or whatever. So every moment's a gift. So when you're playing, you know it's not you. It's God. You know, my album was the hand, his hand was on my hand on Sacred Angel. That's, I mean, it's a long story, but it's God. You know, God came and created the vision in my mind, and the love of the musicians came and understood unconditionally what I was going to do and put everything they had into it. And it's almost it's orchestrated by God. So that's how that album came into being. I had no clue to even do an album. And it's almost like everybody has God come to them and say, hey, you know, Jack, what did we spend all this time for drumming you around the world and all these bands? Well, you got to do this record. So it's almost like, you know, that's what I do. I play drums. I create. Oh, got to do this. But, you know, God comes in and says, don't worry. I'm helping you. We're doing it together. How about it? Doing pretty good, aren't we? And then you get, you know, tears in your eyes and you cry and you realize that he's giving you this incredible dream once again. So it's going down the fulfillment road and not being afraid to walk it, you know, and not being, you know, being confident enough to just do it. And that's believing. And when that happens, you have this incredible work of art that'll last the next 100 years on this CD when you go to glory. So it's there for the next kid to dust off and go, or take it higher. So, oh, okay, Sacred Angel, wow, look what he's doing here. And look at this song, Maypack Farms, look at this a cappella, look at the drum solo, Mercy, Mercy, wow. How is he playing it that way? And then somebody will take it higher than you. And that's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to pass it on to the young, to the old. That's what Buddy did to me, and Jim Catfish Hunter, Willie Randolph, all the Ron Guidry, Thurman Munson, all these, Phil Rizzuto, they all gave this kid a break, you know, and I was the kid, you know, Billy Martin,
you,
I adore.
You pay it forward. You definitely have shared with me how you believe in paying it forward. You do hand that down to those around you, and do not let the magnificent gift get the best of you. You give the credit where it belongs with the Lord.
Well, yeah, that's you know, that's everything. You know, John Costa, this wonderful, brilliant friend to me when we were out having lunch with his mother, Jacqueline, he said, you know, it's just infinity looking back at infinity. And when he said that, it was so profound. Infinity looking back at infinity. And the only thing I can get out of it was God. And he just shook his head. Yeah, God. That's it. That's infinity looking back at infinity. So that, you know, you get these profound statements coming. You don't know when it's going to come, but when it comes, it that has stayed with me, and it's now maybe 10 years ago or 6 years ago that he said that to me. And that's what you take with you. You know, Joan Amos, I mean, says things to me, you know, let's try to give it everything we have, and if we can't, let's just work together, because it's the two of us, Jack. It's not just one, it's two. We're a team.
Aww,
so we,
awesome.
And then, you know, when you're feeling down, he said, hey, Jack, don't worry, you're in my Hall of Fame, man. You're in my Hall of Fame. And, you know, that's your bud, that's your man, you know, that's your hero, but he's your bud, he's your bud, he's trying to pick you up, and that's basically God puts people in everyone's life for a reason, and those people are so important to make old Jack Scarangella do his thing, play his drums, or make his record the hero in us all, which really the hero is God, and the cover I shot of Mickey Mantle, he's going into the light, and that was the last time he suited up in the Yankee uniform, and so the hero in us all, of course, he was my hero, but it's a little more when you look at Depkin, you can see a lot of what is unseen, and it's like music, you can take it into your own life, what you think that means to you. And then, you know, like Sacred Angel, the hero in us all, that's, I was just the caretaker. I was just the guy chosen to do it, but it's bigger than me. It's bigger than all of us. It's what God put down and something to believe in. All the titles of the songs, What a Life, you know, Mercy, Mercy. They all have meaning when you take it into your own heart. So that's basically it. I was just taking care of, you know, the field, or, you know, one of the members pitching a ball game, a part of the team. But it's God who put down everything, and he's the one that's, you know, controlling the message. So
that's very humble, but there must be some parts of your life that you had to make sacrifices so that you could give 100%. I'm sure that you practiced a lot. You had to, like you say, if you put your feet forward, our pastor says you have to move your feet. You know, you have to put your best forward in order to be even in his will, or to exercise the gifts that he gives you. You have to step out.
Yeah, I mean, it's a, you know, drumming is like anything, you know, what it's your passion. So you have to do it to the best of your ability, and you have to do it with, I give it 150%, because that's the way Buddy Rich played, and the way Joe Namath played the game, and you go beyond yourself. So you always are trying to go beyond yourself, and you really want to play. You want to get your body and hands moving like your heroes. You know, when you see them play, you know, if you can think it, Buddy would say to me, you can play it. So if you can think it, you can play it. You can, and that's, that's, you know, yeah, and that's what I think. I try to tell young drummers coming up, or I'm sure, you know, people, you know, understand that, wow, if I can dream it, I can make it happen. Or if you can think it in your mind, you can probably play that rhythm. And so when he said that to me, I would think it, and it just channels through you, and you play it. And there's times when you're on automatic pilot and spirit takes over and you're just playing and you don't know where it's coming from, but it's coming from, you know, the place where the angels sing, you know, where that's where the gifts all lie, you know, and they come down to us all. But as long as you are aware of it, you know, and don't think it's you that's doing this, then the gift gets bigger, and then you get more humble, and you get more goodness, and your deeds, you can do more, and God makes you do more. It's like, you know, sometimes you get down and you make mistakes, but then it's how you deal with them and how you get back up. Like, you know, I told you about that kid, you know, when I was trying to get into the game, because me and Ron Guidry would play drums together, and I was late, I was in Asbury Park, and you're playing with all the great Jersey guys, and Clarence Clemens, and Bruce Springsteen, and all those incredible incredible forces for the world, and La Bamba, Richie Rosenberg, and so many people. But then you're behind this station wagon, and it's the slowest station wagon in the world, and you haven't had much sleep, so you're pretty irritable. And going into the garage, the same thing, taking his time. And so I started to beep the horn a little. And then he makes a left where I was going to make the left. And I'm sure we all have these kind of stories. Well, at least, I learn from these stories. So I said he parks in my spot, where I always park, 10G. And I'm sitting there, and I'm saying, what? How can you go this slow? And silly, stupid me, hate to use that word, but I was at that time. He, pulls the trunk up and gets a wheelchair out, and I'm sitting there in my car, half in tears and half going, what, Jack, come on. And so, long story short, he was oblivious to me. He didn't even know I was honking. And so I run over to him and the kid, and I said, where are you sitting, sir? I'd like to give you an autographed ball from the Yankees. And he looked at me like I was a light on a Christmas tree. He was in disbelief. And the kid was just smiling. And he gives me his seat number. And, of course, I go to Thurman and Jim Capuchana and Elliot Maddox and Sparky Lyle, and tell them the story, and they sign it. They sign the whole ball, And I come out with the ball, and the whole back of the, home plate. Everybody was looking to see if this guy's going to come with this autograph ball, and of course I did. I gave it to the kid, and the father said, you want to sit with us? I said, no. And humbly, I just backed off. And I'll never forget that. And it teaches you tremendous humility. And I try to always understand. Everybody's situation is different. And sometimes, you don't get it. But then you try, I believe, to make it better, Take a sad song and make it better. Hey Jude, what a great song. And that's what you try to do,
That's right.
To find peace within yourself,
That's right. That is so awesome. It's so, so very awesome.
Well, it's
question
it's
you.
Another question, a question.
Yes, a question, yeah. One more.
Question 67 and 68. See, I know that Chicago Transit Authority. I feel like Jackie Gleason, when he couldn't figure out it was, he's the $10,000 question, and then Ed Norton would play Swanee River, he would always start with that. So he knew everything, and then when he got on the show, they played Swanee River, and.
Yeah.
He couldn't understand who wrote it, and he said, and the guy said, I'm sorry, who, and he went through every song, but then he finally said, Ed Norton? No, I'm sorry, that's it. And so he was off the show. So it was, I just had to get, the honeymoon is just magic, magic. But it's a lot like life. It's a lot like life, isn't it? I mean, the $10,000 question.
Yeah.
Swanee River.
Yes, that's right. So now I'm going to ask you, what is your idea of an excellent drummer?
An excellent drummer?
Mm-hmm.
One who plays with passion, who's serious about, the people he's playing with and wants to contribute to the best of his ability, everything he has. And he listens, has to be a good listener, and he has to really... love the drums and love being a part of this wonderful world of music. And that's, to me, then that's when you're playing. That's when you're really playing and enjoying yourself. I mean, when I would see Buddy Rich swing the band, there was a gleam in his eye and a smile, and that band would go right to that shuffle groove that he would play, and everybody was on a trip with Buddy, and that's when you know you're really loving what you're doing, and it goes into any occupation or anything, but that's when you're really playing, you know, and you can see when you know, it's like there are different levels of players, and you know, but when you were taught at such a young age, like I was, when you know, when you're really having the master like Buddy Rich teach you, then you can't help but get it. You know, you get it, and you feel that energy. And then when you go back to play, it's an amazing feeling because you just saw him play. And you have that same inspiration. So, I mean, it's inspiration. It's like watching Mike Richter, who's one of my my favorite Ranger, and the way he played in all kinds of pain and to block the goal, you know, from the opposite team. And, you know, the guts, you know, you got to have guts and you got to go for it. You got to go for it and can't just sit back. You know, you got to, you know, if you're pitching, I watched Ron Guidry pitch. Every pitch was like it was his last pitch, and he just give everything he had into getting that batter out or winning the game. And when you see that, you know, that, and you take that to your drums and you play the same way. You know, it's almost like an athlete. I always felt, you know, drumming is you have to be in shape and you got to be on time. And everything's got to be working. So that's when you, and you got to have heart. You got to have heart playing the drums. You got to have heart.
It comes through the drumming, doesn't it? And I think I watch you and I watch my Daniel, and I think that the drummer is the heart of the whole band. They set the cadence and the balance and the rhythm and the soul for the band.
Well, I told my friend Joseph Kramer, Joey Kramer, the great legendary drummer, one of the greats of all time, drummer with Aerosmith. I said the singer can't dance unless the drummer deals the cards, meaning, you know, the gas tank is the drummer. Steven Tyler really, you know, none of the band can really do their thing unless the drummer puts you through the paces and gets the groove going. And the drummer is really the pulse of the band. That sets the groove. Whether, you know, and every band, if really great band, always had a great drummer. You know, Jimi Hendrix, the Beatles, Stones, Aerosmith, Rascals, Motown drummers. They were incredible with the entire Supremes, Marvin Gaye, and he was a drummer at Motown, started out as a drummer, so it's gotta go with the drummer. I mean, he's the one that's gonna set the time, set the pace, and then the band, you know, will swing and will rock or will play the blues if the drummer is doing his job. And that's what you gotta do, and it comes down to the drummer. You know, he's the timekeeper.
Right.
So that's it's like the catcher of a baseball team. You know, a Thurman Munson or a Carlton Fisk, they gotta, you know, call the pitches. They're calling the pitches for the pitcher to pitch. So catcher, you know, and he's telling the fielders where to position themselves, which each hitter that's coming to bat. So it's all. Like, that's the drummer. He's like, that's the catcher. You know, he's the one that's calling the time signatures and setting the groove down. So it's a responsibility, you know, because the band depends upon you to do that. That's your job, you know. And so, I mean, I've been lucky or blessed, really. You know, luck, I don't know, you know, they say that, but I always correct myself. You're blessed because you played with such legendary musicians and even musicians who are not famous that taught you so much life, and you apply that to your craft. So I've been blessed by that. You know, for some reason, I got to play with all these incredible souls in so many different mediums of music, and then, you know, hang, you know, having my first sip of champagne with Sarah Vaughan, or, you know, when I was a kid, you know, and you know, talking to Billy Eckstein, and all because I knew Miles Davis. So you realize that if you really want to learn and you're really passionate, people will help you and they'll see your enthusiasm, because I think you can do anything with enthusiasm, and that's all by what God gives you. Those are all the gifts he gives you. So he gives you like a waterfall of gifts, and you just have to apply them and approach in your own approach. Everybody's got their own approach of what, how they want to give. And, I mean, you know, our friend Richie Ghiberti, I mean, he has, you know, taught kids to be champions in hockey, and teaches them the fundamentals of life as he's teaching them how to win a game, you know. And I watched him one time at Playland in Rye, New York, as he's, you know, playing, you know, going through the motions with his team, how he's teaching them. And it's really, you're so proud when that's your buddy. He's the coach. Yay. Your buddy's doing this. And you got to be for your friends. You got to be for everybody that's trying to do their thing. And it's an honor to watch Richie or Buddy Rich or Mr. Sinatra, Joe Namath. It's an honor to watch how they handle themselves through life. I mean, I love the way Joe Namath handles himself through life, and how kind and good he is to everybody that he meets. And I've seen this for 45 years. And you try to do that. You try to handle yourself that way. And that's, you know, the fulfillment road, I believe.
That's awesome. That's so awesome. Well, you know, that I'm going to ask you, we're winding down, and I'm going to ask people who are online, if you want to ask a question, if you click one, I'll see you and you can ask a question. I'll give you a few minutes, and don't be shy. If you'd like to ask a question, you can click the one, and I'll pick you up and let you ask the question. I'll give you
there's
a few
actually
minutes.
People want to ask a question.
Yeah, there's
wow.
People on here that are online, but they sometimes are shy and they won't ask a question. They listen and they.
I hope I get the right question so I can win the Buick in door number three. If I can get the Buick.
Question. Here we go. Here's a question right here.
Oh.
Okay, here we go. The 408 area code.
Hey, Jackie. This is someone that used to see you out on the East Coast back in the Shabu days. Jeffrey Francois calling you.
Hey,
anyhow,
Jeffrey, my man.
Hey, brother, how are you? It's great interview you got going on.
How's your mom?
She's doing great. I'll be flying out to see her in less than 2 weeks, and then I'll be back up to Connecticut, and I'll look for you.
All right, you better, because we both got albums out, me and D.A. Foster, so we're rolling, you know?
I'm working on mine, too. I wanted to ask you, out of all the great blues musicians that you've come across and played with, what was your favorite and for what reasons?
Oh, wow.
And the blues world. This is specific to the blues.
I think I got to go with Muddy Waters with David and all of us on the stage at the Boo.
Oh, wasn't that something?
Yeah, and man. Charles Kalmese. You know, and Charles is on bass, and
what a gift from God he was.
Yes, and for those who don't know, I mean, Jungle Love, Fly Like an Eagle, Steve Miller, that's our man Charles, and Muddy Waters, Heart Again with James Cotton,
uh-huh.
Johnny Winter, that's our man
yeah.
Charles on the bass. But that's got to be one that just, I just, you know, my eyes like get wide-eyed, and you look at the clouds and you look at the sky and you go, wow, that was a night at the Boo. Wow.
That was a night in heaven.
Yeah, it was. It was like touching heaven with Granddaddy and Charles and everybody in the band. So and just swinging the blues, and David was up there, and I mean, you can't get any better than that.
It's hard to top a night like that.
Now, one last thing.
Are you going to be touring at all with D.A. Foster?
I don't know about that, but I know that one. You know, you can see us down the road. He's always been gracious to include me in a concert. We just did Wyndham High School, his old
mm-hmm.
high school. And
yes, I saw that online.
And it was an incredible show. We did a matinee for the school, and then we did for the adults and, you know, everybody coming in. But we did it for the school, and he raised scholarship funds, and I think they're giving him the highest award other than a teacher and a and he told me that today, and he's well deserved, and so he's going to get that award for what he did at Wyndham, and I was just proud to just play drums with him, and he was absolute magic, and the kids loved him, and
he's another one who gives so much of himself, just like you, Jack.
Well, I mean, so
and like your brother.
Well, Dr. Steve, I mean, he's a priest without the collar. I love my brother, and he's a humble guy, and you know him, and
he's
loves
a wonderful
you,
man.
So he's just a gift. You know, Pamela, gift from God. Jeffrey, we're all gifts. Dr. Steve, and I once introduced him. We were playing the Beacon Theater with Lady Blacksmith Mombasa, and Paul Simon, you know, of course, was hanging by
uh-huh.
the stairwell, and my brother. You know, it was my birthday that night in Richie Havens. We were all going to play together. But there was the great Paul Simon. And so I felt really good with my brother there. So I said, Paul, I'd like to let you meet my brother, Dr. Steve. And he just looks at my brother and he goes, hello, Dr. Steve. And then, you know, because my brother's going, you know, you're amazing. Your songs have gotten me through my life. Bridge over trouble, but he's just going, huh. Dr. Steve, it's great to meet you, Dr. Steve. So
that is awesome.
Yeah, I mean, you got to love that, and he was so sweet to just, you know, acknowledge me with that, and my brother never forgets that, and, you know, the greats are always so humble, you know, so.
Well, so are you, Jack. It's like the name says, sacred angel.
Well, we're all sacred angels, and I love you, Jeffrey, and you're always
love
in my
to you,
heart.
Jack, and your family. Thank you so much. God bless you.
God bless
thank
you and
you,
love
Jeffrey.
To your mother.
Aww.
Thank you, and I'll be talking to you soon.
Yes.
Okay,
love
and
you.
We have another question, so yep. I'm going to put you on hold. If you think of another one, you can raise your hand again. I'm going to move on
great.
To the next question. That's okay?
Thank you kindly.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome. Okay, from 417 area.
Yeah, how are you doing tonight?
Good, thank you.
This is Ron Reck.
Hi, Ron.
I just got a phone call that I got sent to your show. I was in the studio, and a friend of mine called me up and said, you got to hear this guy. And he's talking about Jack. And Jack, how are you doing? It's my privilege to actually talk to you. That's definitely a privilege.
No. We're all in the same team, but a privilege to talk to you as well, my friend.
Yes, sir.
Thanks for
I'm a drummer myself, and a friend of mine mentioned you're talking about Buddy Rich, and when I got online to see what you know who you are,
yep.
I remember somebody, my boss used to talk about you a little bit.
Wow.
He's ran into you a few times, and I don't know if you remember him or not, Bill Dees.
That sounds familiar. Yes, it does.
Yep.
Wow.
He's got a real song, Old Pretty Woman, and it's over, and Windsor.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah, I was his last drummer. And
Bill, you know, Windsor, it was the great Pat Nigro. He lived in Windsor. Remember Pat?
Yes, sir.
I mean, Patty was in the All-Stars with me and David Foster, genius, and I miss him every day. I mean, he was one of the greats.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, the funny thing about my history with Bill Dees was kind of funny. I live in Branson, Missouri, is where I live at now, and I work here. I met Bill fishing. I quit playing music for a long time after I got married and had kids and all that stuff.
God bless.
And I was fishing. Good. Yeah, it was a God blessing, really. And Bill, we met when I was out fishing. He was fishing out of his Jeep, and I was on a boat, and I ran into him on the bank. And we got to talking, and we became real good friends. And he told me I need to get back on my drum kit.
Yeah.
So he got me back into playing.
Yeah,
and
no.
After that, we went on tour, and it was like, to me, playing drums, I go into a whole different planet, I guess you could say. Like you said earlier, nervous. You know, I am too. It's kind of an odd thing. I'm nervous before I start. And so I do my first strike. Then once I hit my first strike, I turn a complete liquid, you know, and I'm ready to go.
That's wonderful.
I remember Bill Dees mentioning you and, of course, Buddy Rich. And, you know, I was a little bit after that time. Buddy Rich, I'm a big fan, always was. I studied him very much, still study him today. And
absolutely.
I've never stopped learning. After 37 years, I still ain't stopped learning yet.
No, you never quite get it, but isn't it great to try to find it? You know what I mean? Keep going.
Well, but the funny thing with me is I quit for like 10 years, and I figured I was done. That was it. I was done, and it was just amazing. It's like riding a bike. I got right back on. Here I am, still today doing it, and I love it more today. The one thing I don't like about the new music scene is electronic drums. I'm not an electronic drum person.
No.
I just find that they're so artificial, they're not real no more.
You can't see it, you can't feel it. What is it?
Exactly, yeah. Right. There's no feeling to it no more. It's just, it takes music away to me. I mean, I'd rather work with a drunk bass player than an electronic drum, you know?
It's funny, you can buy more clothes when the Motown music was on and Sly was on and... You know, the Rascals and Jimi Hendrix. I mean, I bought like so many pairs of corduroy pants and jeans when those records kept going on. And then when the synthetic music came on, I can barely get by one pair of pants because I got to get out of the department store. I really do.
Absolutely. Yes, sir.
I can't buy a shirt. I used to buy, and you know what I'm saying. We used to buy six pairs of pants. And, you know, let's buy some of these boots here. Let's do it. Now I get a migraine headache, and I got to get out of here. I got to get out of the department store. Yeah.
Well, I feel you completely lose the whole rhythm and beat of the whole song. It just it erases it. It's a meaningless song, you know. It's sad.
There's no creativity. It's just it's one-dimensional, you know. And it may be good for whatever, somebody might like it, and that's the way it is. There's always going to be somebody that likes it, but basically the music that lasts are what we were talking about. And, Beatles will always be Beatles forever. And Buddy Rich, and you know, those are the Mount Rushmores of music, and that's it. I mean, a great song like "Groovin'," "A Girl Like You" by the Rascals, and that'll just keep playing. Mm-hmm. You know, how can I be sure? That'll just keep playing. But they're not going to play, you know, some of these songs where you feel your vacuum cleaner just exploded. So you're just not going to play those songs and really enjoy them. So even the television westerns, I used to love the music. The OK Corral with Kurt Douglas. The music in the background was played with such great musicians. Irv Cotler told me once from Mr. Sinatra's band he played drums with, he played on 3,000 movie scores. I mean, 3,000. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a drummer.
Wow.
And played with Mr. Sinatra. Yeah, 27 years with Mr. Sinatra, and he was, you know, perfect for Mr. Sinatra and one of the greats of all time, but humble, you know, and there's very few people that want to know what came before them. They think they got, they got the groove, and one Baba Tunde Olatunji is on my first album, The Hero in Us All, and one time a kid came up to him and said, check out this new beat, Baba, that I have that I just created myself. And Baba looks at me, and I look at Baba, and then he plays it, and Baba says, that beat is 200 years old.
Yeah,
you know, this is not a new beat you're playing. So, there's the humility is sometimes you got to get that. The kids now got to realize that someone else cut the road for them, and me and you are able to play, thanks to Max Roach and Buddy Rich and Gene Krupa. Buddy Rich used to tell me, you know, Gene put the D in drums. I mean, what?
Wow.
You know, that was Buddy's quote to me.
When I first saw Buddy Rich play, I was 5 years old.
God bless.
Did you have a question to ask Jack also?
My question was actually the electronic drums. I mean, what did he actually feel that was? He's pretty well answered that one.
The human heartbeats, you know, as you know, we all know that speeds up, slows down. When you're playing the real kit with an orchestra or a singer, the singer's going to get emotional. Life is emotional. Life is the human heartbeat. It's not all in that same level as a drum machine. And you can't get your best girl. You can't waltz her around the dance floor with that kind of synthetic music. But you put Summer Wind or any of the classics, and you can dance all night. So, you know, there's good music and there's bad music. That's what Buddy told me. There's two kinds of music, good music and bad, and we play good music. That's what he told me.
We wish the best for you too. I'm sorry to have to move everybody along, but we have a time.
Oh, that's
have
all right. But I will be buying your album, Jack, and thank you so much, buddy.
Thank you. And we're all one team. We're all one drum. So keep playing the drums.
Oh, yeah, till the dad drop. You folks have a good evening.
Yeah. You too. Pleasure. Thank you for your question. Thank you for calling. And I think we have one more. Do we have another question from Jeffrey?
Hey, I'm back again.
Hey, Jeffrey.
Yes, did you have another question?
Yeah, one more.
Jeff?
I've been finding out a bit about Jack here and there along the way myself, because he's such a great musician and a great man as a human being that I've gotten curious and done a little bit of research. I know he did a lot of work with some of the New York Yankees in the clubhouse down there in New York. And out of the New York players there, who had the best chops and on what instruments?
Well, I mean, I have to give it to Ron Guidry. I mean, if he wasn't one of the all-time great pitchers since Whitey Ford, left-hander, when we played drums, I mean, he could have played in any band and toured. He was that great. He can play those drums. And he had a style all his own, and he had a little chip that he would play that I stole. I copped that. I played with Chuck Berry and Bo Diddley, and I took it, you know. And he would smile at me, you know, as he's pitching a two-hitter, you know. Okay, yeah, that's my chip. That's my, you know. When he heard the album, he goes, I know where I am on your album.
Yeah, I know where I came from.
Oh yeah, but it's the truth, you know. There's a lot of influence, and he was an influence, not just as a buddy, but as a drummer too. He just had a style all his own, and then playing in the stadium with Bernie Williams, you knew, you know, Bernie was, you know, and he plays his first, guitar solo on my record, The Hero in Us All, No Machine, a Pepe Castro tune. Pepe was in the Blues Magoos, We Ain't Got Nothing Yet. And so you knew you wanted the guitar man on your record. I mean, and it's an honor to have, and the Yankees are on it. Paul O'Neill's playing percussion, and Willie Randolph, he's on it. So the Yankees came to play on a record, you know, by this guy Jack, you know. So,
really?
I mean, but Bernie's playing a burning solo, burning. And, you know, his career is just blossoming all the time. So it was pretty cool to see, you know, at the in the locker room, me and Willie Randolph, he was a coach then, but Bernie comes by the door with his guitar case, you know, in his hand. You know, he's going, I'll meet you guys at the studio. I'm going now. And I'm going, is he going? I mean, we're in the Yankee locker room. Is he taking his guitar to play on my record? Is he actually? And that's the, that's how you felt. And then, you know, Willie Randolph goes, Jack, you're too nervous, man. Let me drive. And you're driving with Willie, who's going to be on your record. You're going, no, this isn't real. And you're going to, you know, the old Yankee Stadium. And of course, that's where that No Machine, you know, that's the first cut. And the Yankees are on it, you know. And yeah, I mean, it's just unbelievable. But Bernie and Ron and, you know, John Wetland, who was with the Yanks early on, he can play the keyboard. And, you know, Paul O'Neill, most humble guy you can meet, he says, my son, he can really play. But, you know, Paul was a good drummer as well. And, you know, but then he, you know, he'd spray the ball to right field and two runs would score. And, you know, you were just there to, you know, make him relax. And one of the songs on my album was Bang It Out. And I come into the drum room with Paul, and Paul is, you know, he's in the pinstripes. He goes, hey, you see what the grounds crew did? And they write, they paint Bang It Out on the walls of Yankee Stadium with the NY on each. And I was almost in tears. And it was, you know, in front of the drum set. So, I mean, those kind of memories are priceless. I mean, you know, I just couldn't believe that.
I can remember you playing on stage wearing the pinstripes too, Jack.
That's right. That's right.
You show up, you always have somebody else's jersey or, you know, pinstripe pants on. You know, it wasn't always the Yankees. It seemed like you knew
that's
everybody.
Right. Yeah, no, I mean, you know, Nettles would give me, you know, some of the pants, and Willie
George
Randolph.
Brett.
Bobby, George Brett, playing George's jersey. I mean, what an honor. I mean, and I was the first, really, because before all the memorabilia started, they gave the jersey to me as a symbol of friendship and love. So that was real.
That's before it was popular.
Yeah, that was before all the you know, the merchandising and everything. That was just when you wore Richard Castor of the New York Jets jersey. That's out of love and friendship. So Eddie Bell's jersey or, so many. Don Mattingly, he'd give me the away jersey and the pinstripe jersey.
Now,
so,
did you ever get out on the field and throw it around with those guys at Yankee Stadium?
I would sit in the dugout, you know, and there was one Sunday where the team, you know, it was almost like, you know, when everyone's practicing in the movie Field of Dreams and, you know, you're sitting alone in the Yankee dugout on a Sunday, you're looking out of the blue skies, the real stadium, and you're daydreaming going, this is as perfect as it gets. All my guys are out there. And then Billy Martin kind of, you know, comes down tan, looking, you know, just beautiful. I love Billy. Miss him every day. But he kind of jumps down the stairs and goes into the, you know, the ramp, you know. And then I just went, this is wonderful. I'm thinking to myself, how beautiful this day is. And then he peeks his head out, Billy Martin, and he goes, hey, Jack. And I go, what? He goes, make sure you get it right. And he smiles, and then he ducks back in. And I realize, make sure when you're going to do your record, you get us right. You do it the right way. Because, you know, you're putting down the definitive record of, you know, dreams in New York Yankees. If you had to write something for each Yankee that their millions of fans will know, oh, that's Guidry, that's Randolph, that's Mattingly, that's Rizzuto. The best thing for Mr. Rizzuto is I wrote, love wins every time in the game of life. And when he says that, man, does that make you feel good? The scooter.
Oh.
So, he also would say on the air, you can trust a guy like Jack. His name ends in a vowel, Siever. So, you know.
Hey.
The scooter. The scooter.
The love and loyalty that you've also shown to them, I think, made them feel very comfortable about representing on your album too.
Well, I mean, it's a Field of Dreams that they came for peace, love, and brotherhood, but they yeah, they came for me, and I, you know, I love them till I go to glory. I mean, what they did for me, you know, is way beyond my dreams. But you know, you got to think God's in control too, and He put those people in your life, and you know, He knows you're going to have a purpose to do the hero in us all, and they're all going to come for peace, love, and brotherhood. That's really what Sacred Angel and the hero in us all really, that's my, you know, belief and my take of putting it out to the world. That's what God wants me to do. So I just joined the long list of heroes and goodness and people that want to do good in the world. That's it. And you
that's
just
awesome.
Put it out there. And
you
are you a dear friend, and I love you, Jeffrey.
Love you too, Jack. I'll talk with you soon, and thank you so much for all that you bring to the world and the kind ways that you share yourself with us.
Well, you know, thank you, and I can only say we win together. We win together, brother.
That's right. We're undefeated.
Yes, we are. Yes, we are. We are.
Okay.
And I have to be the timekeeper. And I have to be the timekeeper and the wicked henchman and move you guys along. This has been so awesome. And
well, thank you for having me aboard, and much love to all of you.
Well, love to you, Jeffrey.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Special man.
Okay, how about yes, he is. And how about I take us out and say goodbye to everyone by playing Mercy, Mercy.
Wow. Okay. And love.
Would you?
Love
do you
wins,
have anything
and love wins else? Every time in the game of life.
Yes, that's right. And do you have anything else that you would like to say to everyone?
I just if someone smiles at anything I've said, and if they remember something from my heart that they can take with them and pass it on to someone, then we win, Pamela. We win on this day for God and goodness and the human spirit. So, you know, it's just being creative. Let us all help one another, love one another, and just make it a better world with goodness and the deeds that we do. And that's it. You know, one person's definition of success is another's first step. So we can always understand that, you know, we're all one team and we can go together and win together and make the best music and, you know, help one another together. That's it. I mean, and it's emotional when we all are, you know, in the groove. And listen to our own, you know, beats that we have on our own drummer. You know, we're all, you know, different drummers, all of us. So, you know, it's that Thoreau, you know, perhaps he hears a different drummer, let us step to the music he or she hears, however measured or far away. So, you know, let's just keep on playing the drums.
Okay. Well, I'm going to take us out with Mercy, Mercy, which is on Sacred Angel CD and can be found on cdbaby.com, as well as your other CD, The Hero in Us All, can also be found on cdbaby.com.
Well, yes. And jackscarangella.com, you know.
Yes.
And I thank you, Pamela, for your joyous giving heart, for having me on.
You're welcome. It's my pleasure and my blessing. I want to take us out with Mercy, Mercy, and I'm going to dedicate this song to Daniel, Steve, the chef, Anisha, and tell you guys, I'm going to give you a quote from Jack. Here it is. At any given time, there is a chance to win and have the courage to believe you can, to face the struggle with conviction and confidence, and remember those who have gone before you who made you who you are. Believe with heart, desire, and hard work, your dreams can be reached. Be brave, guys. Always believe. This is Jack's quote, and it's from my heart to you. as I take you out with this song. Thank you so much, Jack.
Yep. Thank you, Pamela, and God bless us all.
Here we go.
Hey, Jack, why don't you take us out of here? We'll be right back. that's your angel, y'all.